Thankful the Lord is interested in everything that touches our lives. The message the Lord had put on my heart after, as the Lord began to give some scriptures and inspire me with this message, in the back of my mind, this is just a little bit of ministerial background here now. There was something niggling in the back of my mind. It's like, Lord, did you not give me something like that a few weeks ago? And I wasn't at home, and I, you know, I could have gone to look at my old notes to see, but I thought, you know what, that really didn't matter. This is what the Lord gave for us for this morning, so I'm not going to worry about. He said, well, I think, didn't you say some things about that a while back? That's really not the point. I was taught as a young minister never to apologize for the message the Lord gave you. So I'm not going to apologize this morning. Like to turn to the book of Acts in the 26th chapter. Give a little bit of background. Paul was had been arrested, and he had appealed unto Caesar. If you will recall, Paul was a Roman citizen. And by design, he had a purpose and a desire. It was the plan of God that he share his faith with people in authority. And so we find before he had gotten to Caesar that he was speaking to King Agrippa in the 26th chapter. And in the third verse, Paul was speaking. He said, I know thee. Actually, King Agrippa was speaking to him. He said, I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Okay, this was Paul speaking to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa knew of some of the customs, obviously, that were among the Jews. So this is what Paul said. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now, Paul was born in the city of Tarsus. All right. He was born a Roman citizen. History says that his father was a Roman citizen, but they were Jews. And so Paul was raised over in the 22nd chapter, a very similar account. And he talks about being sent to study at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. And he was zealous toward God. And so he was a Roman citizen at birth, at probably somewhere around the age of 12, which was typical when someone was sent off to school. Paul was probably sent to Jerusalem to study at the school of Gamaliel, who was a man of renown among the Jews. And he was raised and taught after the strictest sect of the Pharisees. Now, I want us to keep in mind, you all know what the word Pharisee means by definition? Because we talk a lot about Pharisees, right? The word Pharisee means a separatist. And that's key to the message this morning. The title of the message is Separated Unto the Gospel. But Paul was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were those that were, they were strictly adhered to the customs of the Jewish law. They were very careful, and they separated themselves from the Gentiles. They separated themselves from the Jews who had defiled the ceremonies and rites as they thought God had given them to Moses. So it was a group of people that were zealous in their pursuit of following the letter of the law. Now, I know today when people talk about Pharisees, they think about hypocrites, right? Well, you're a Pharisee. You're hypocritical. However, if you were zealous towards God and you were a Jew, you might have found yourself a Pharisee. Because these were people that did have somewhat of a desire, although they did get misdirected, they had a desire to please God and to serve Him. So Paul was given this background. He was zealous. You know the story of Paul. He was his name was Saul. He was out zealously persecuting the Christians because he saw them as breaking the law of God. And that's, remember a while back, the issue of some of those in Afghanistan and some, you know, terrorists, they would make good Christians. because they're zealous in their beliefs. Their beliefs are wrong. But if they would take that same zeal and that same purpose of life and focus that on the true things of God, they'd make wonderful saints, wouldn't they? But I wonder this morning if it's a fair question to ask us individually, how is your purpose and zeal for God this morning? Are you zealous for the things of God? Is your purpose, are you putting God first in your life? Or are we allowing the things of the world to in part dictate the choices and decisions we're making? Or are we saying, Lord, I want to please you first with every area of my life? So Paul was a zealous man. He was a Pharisee. He was separated and zealous in his pursuit of the law. So we find in verse 12 of this 26, a very familiar passage, he was beginning to share his experience with the king. He said, O king, I saw on the way. And you know, he was on his way. He was on the Damascus Road to go persecute some more Christians, wasn't he? He said, I saw light from heaven above, the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speak unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? You know, he knew enough to say, Lord, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. It wasn't happenstance that Jesus appeared to Saul. He said, I appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. And he said he was going to send him to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from the darkness. And then verse 19, this was Saul's response. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. You know that Saul was zealous, but he was zealous after the wrong things. There are people in our world today that are zealous and focused people. They're zealously following after the things of the flesh, following after wealth, following after fame, following after the things of their temporal jobs. There are some that their family is their primary pursuit. Do you know the Lord wants to be the focus of our zeal this morning? When you are zealous towards God, it will change the decisions you daily make. It will change your decisions. No more are the decisions based on what I want, but when we are truly zealous after God, our decisions are going to be, Lord, how can I please you? Lord, I want you to be pleased with my life. And Saul said, I was not disobedient. Do you realize that when Saul got a vision of Jesus, it changed the focus of his zeal? He was now zealous towards God. He had been zealous after the law. Now he was zealous because I have seen Jesus Christ. You know, this morning many of you have been raised hearing a lot of truth. And it might be, and I know it brought some of this out last Sunday, but it can become, if you're not careful, it can become a form. Well, this is just what I do. It doesn't mean throw away the good things, but it means when you get a vision of Jesus for yourself, it's going to change the object and the focus of your heart. Because now I have seen Jesus. And if you have not had a real revelation of Jesus Christ this morning, I would encourage you to start praying, Lord, I want to see you. Because a lot of the things that trouble people, what is right and what do I do and what does God expect of me, and what, when you begin to get a vision of Jesus, all of these issues that people debate among the saints, they start to lose their power, because I have seen the Lord. You know what? I think one of the reasons there's so much debate over issues of what I can do and what I shouldn't do and what I can't, you know what the answer to that is? People need to see Jesus. We need to have a personal revelation that I have seen the Lord and it changed the course of my life. That now the object and the focus of what I'm doing, it's about Jesus. Well, he said, I was not disobedient. This morning, I want to challenge you all in love. Don't be disobedient to the heavenly vision. When you get a vision of Jesus in His holiness, do you know that the world, the contamination of the world is just that much greater? One of the reasons that many groups fall into compromise is they start mixing the water with the wine. You know what I mean by that? They begin to start mixing the things of the world with the things of God. And they're trying to choose, I'll have this from God and I'll choose this from the world. Do you know that the things of this world, it's the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God? The contamination, when you get a vision of true purity, you don't want to settle for anything less than what's pure. You don't want something that's contaminated. I don't want something that's mixed. I don't want a religion this morning. I want more of Jesus. And as I begin to get Jesus and allow Him to work in my life, it's going to bring out His holiness in my life. And it's going to cause all of these issues that people in our world are debating. And I said the world. Let's just bring it home, okay? Let's bring it home. The things that your children will ask you about. The things that about where you go and what you do and your attitudes and what you how you dress and how you worship and all of these issues. If we would just get a vision of Jesus and see His holiness and His purity, it brings into focus God's expectations for my life. But now we have a decision. Am I going to be zealous for the things of God, or am I going to keep going down the road that I was? And Paul said, I was not disobedient. Folks, there are too many people that have been disobedient to the truths that the Lord has revealed. But when you reject truth, it doesn't take very long before you won't feel any condemnation any longer. Because I don't see anything wrong with it. But do you remember when you saw Jesus? Do you remember when the Lord revealed Himself and you were at peace with that? But now, if we're disobedient, we're not going to fulfill God's purpose. You know, this morning the Lord wants to appear unto each and every one of us here. I'm glad each one of you are here this morning. I don't want you to stop coming, but I want you to know something. Coming here will not save you. It will not keep you saved. You need a revelation of who Jesus is, because that will make the difference in your life. Because you're going to go home after this service, and guess what? You're going to have 6 days, actually 3 days, because I hope you come back Wednesday night. But the reality is this. The reality is that there's a whole lot of living that goes outside of this little group here this morning. And this little group is not enough to define my life. I need to see Jesus. And I want to have a purpose of my heart and a zeal burning with inside of me that motivates me to be what God wants me to be, because I've seen the Lord. And when you have seen the Lord, everything else out there is a cheap substitute. It's a cheap substitute. He saw the Lord and he was zealous, and it changed his life. We each one have a unique purpose in life this morning. All right? But know this. God has a purpose for your life. And He wants you to fulfill that purpose. I cannot fulfill your purpose this morning. I cannot fill the place that you can fill and do what God has for you to do. And yet there is an element that is common for each and every one of us in our life that it should be, Lord, I want to please you. So are you pleasing God? Do we recognize that Jesus is, the scripture says it this way, love not the world, neither what? Neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Are we allowing love of the world to dictate what we do in life? Are we allowing the world to dictate where we move, where we work, where we go to service, what we look at, what we listen to, what we wear, the attitudes that we have? Are we allowing love of the world to dictate those decisions? Or are we saying, Lord, I know you have a purpose for me, and I want to please you. And if I'm struggling, Lord, sometimes I need to lay down my questions and just say, Lord, give me a vision of Jesus. I need a vision of Jesus. And do you know that when you get a vision of the Lord and you are faithful to that vision, it's going to bring purpose to your life. And it's going to begin to bring clarity. Over in Romans, and that was as a foundation, in the book of Romans, Paul started out, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now, I'd like us to get hold of this next part. He said, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, Paul was a Pharisee. Let's connect the dots. He was a Pharisee, which meant a separatist. Okay? I'm separated from the Gentiles. I'm separated from the defilement that the Jews brought in their worship. And now we find Paul, after his revelation of Jesus Christ, he's saying, I was called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. I'm separated. He was still a Pharisee, in other words. But now he was separated unto the gospel. I'm not following men's religion anymore. There are people that are zealous after religion. I know people that have been zealous for the truths that we hold dear. They were zealous for the letter of the law, but they lost the spirit of it. They lost the revelation of Jesus. They lost what this was all about. It's about a love relationship. So I can have all my doctrines just right, but that's not enough. I want to realize the thing that motivates us should be the love that we have for God. I see a vision. It's not that I'm zealous for the doctrines of the Church of God. Well, the doctrines of the Church of God ought to be the same doctrines that are right here. And if they're not, we need to change. Okay? This is what we need to be zealous about, that it's about Christ. And it's about Him crucified. And so then He said here, I've been separated unto the gospel. And I just want to ask us this morning, and again, you don't have to answer me, but have you been separated unto the gospel? You know, we're not all called to walk in Paul's shoes, but the Lord called to separate all of us unto the gospel. It's not a letter of a law, but it's not religion. But He wants us to be separated to pursue Christ in every area of our life. So how are we doing this morning? How are we doing? You know, in school we get grades. You have tests and you kind of get grades to kind of assess what kind of knowledge you have. And you know what our world has done today is they're trying to throw tests out, say, well, everybody just does their own thing and however you perform. That's not good enough. Do you know tests in school are good because it reveals whether you understand your material or not? And if you don't understand the material, okay, but let's get it then. Let's do it over. Let's go over it again. Let's redo the homework. But we want someone to learn something. So the question is this morning, spiritually, it's not for me to give anybody a grade, and I really don't want you grading me either. But it's for us to examine our own life and ask, am I living separated unto the gospel? A life of separation. Jesus, when he prayed that his disciples, he said, they are in the world, but they're not to be of it. The Lord doesn't want us to isolate ourselves in it. You've heard me say that in the Saintsville. Let's all go build our houses in the same neighborhood and only saints can live there. What a wonderful time. No, it wouldn't be either. I'd get tired of you and you'd get tired of me. Is that okay? And I'm going to tell you the reason. I've got Bible to back it up. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I don't want you just staying around the saints. I want you to go out and let your light shine that the word of God can be spread to people that don't have hope. So is that all right that I said we get on each other's nerves? That's what happens with congregations that don't have any outreach. That's what happens when we don't have a vision of the gospel. The Lord has a job for all of us to do to share the gospel. He wants us to be going out, and yet, He said, don't be of the world. Don't be of the world. This morning, we're living in a time there's too much worldliness creeping in, and people are holding on to their professions, but they're allowing the world in their life. And Jesus told one of his disciples, don't be of the world. In other words, I want you to be a separatist. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about. I'm no longer a Pharisee. I'm no longer a part of this strict sect of religion. But now I'm a separatist. I've been separated unto the gospel. You know, the Lord wants us to give out a clear message this morning. And I'm not talking about even as a congregation. I know as a congregation he does too. But in our homes, and in our individual lives, the Lord wants us to be sending out a clear message. A distinct message. Are you of the world or are you of the gospel? Are you following religion or are you following God and his way? He was not any longer serving his sect. And then in verse 6, it says, among whom ye also the called of Jesus Christ. You know, that was talking about us now. I was not only separated under the gospel, but he said, you also have been called to Jesus Christ. Have you heard the call this morning? In your life, have you heard the call? This is not a call to be a Pharisee in a man's religion. This isn't a call to come get your name on, say, okay, well, what does it take to kind of be a real member of this congregation? You respond to the call of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said. I've been separated, but you also have been called. And he said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be what? Called to be saints. Are you a saint? So I've got a lot of issues. We all have issues. We all have struggles. We all have areas the Lord's wanting to perfect us in. But our heart and what's motivating us should be, Lord, I've been separated under the gospel. My heart is not to go after the things of this world any longer. But now, Lord, I want to please you in my life. That's a saint. It doesn't mean that we're without imperfection. It doesn't mean that we don't have weaknesses. We do. But by the grace of God, we're growing in grace. By the grace of God, we're perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But is it fair to ask us as we examine our life this morning, are we closer to God this morning than we were last year? What changes have taken place in your life in the last couple of years? Are you getting to be more like the world? Or are you getting closer to Jesus Christ? That's personal. We have been called to be separate folks. And we have been called to be saints. A saint of God. You know, even from the very beginning, and we won't take the time to go in a lot in the Old Testament, but in the book of Leviticus, in the 20th chapter, in the 26th verse, he said, he was talking to the children of Israel. He said, you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. The children of Israel were a separate people, weren't they? They got in trouble when they started intermingling with people of other nations. That's the reason God told them, do not marry women of other nations. It wasn't because of their race. Let's get that real clear, okay? If you ever hear someone say it, it's not right. It's not had nothing to do with race. It had nothing to do with language. It had to do with the gods that they served. I don't want you marrying women of other nations because they have their own gods, and I want to be your God, and I want you to serve me exclusively, and I want you to sever all of the influences that would cause you to deviate from serving me. God had a separate people. Do you know in the New Testament, in this new covenant relationship that we have with God, we are still called to be separate? Yes. We are called to be separate in our attitudes. We're not to have attitudes like the world. It's not an eye for an eye anymore or a tooth for a tooth. If your enemy doesn't treat you right, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to be there if someone doesn't treat us right. Jesus Christ elevated. He raised the bar. Do you realize that that's separate from what the world is doing? What is the world focusing on? The entertainment In the sports world, the fashion world, outward appearance, all those things stemming from a foundation of pride. Is that fair? It's what motivates that. It's pride. A lot of it is pride and self-love. Do you recognize that we are called to be saints this morning, and we're called to be separate? We're not to be like the world. We're not to look like the world. We're not to act like the world. We're to be in the world, but not of it. We're called to be saints. And I dare say if we are not careful, there are too many influences that the enemy is using to try to erode what it means to be a child of God. We have been called to be separate this morning. And you say, but I don't want to be separate. Then you cannot be saved. That almost sounds strong. But you won't make it. You won't make it. But you can make it. You can. But you're going to have to get a vision of Jesus Christ this morning. Regardless of my family, regardless of my work environment, regardless of people that I go to camp meeting with, regardless of all of them, Lord, I want to get a vision of you. And I want to live a holy life because you have called us to live a holy life. And without holiness, no man shall what? See the Lord. Now it's not about me making my decision. I know, again, very similar to some what was brought up maybe last Sunday and a few weeks ago. But now it's not about what you're doing. It's, Lord, I want to please you. And I may have people pulling me this way and people tugging me to go this way. And the world influence, you young folks, I know the influence of the world is really strong. You are not abnormal to feel those influences. Because we feel them too. And we were your age too, believe it or not. And we felt some of the same pressures to conform to the world. Because it's strong. It doesn't mean something's wrong with you. But there's a higher call this morning. And there are not very many people that are responding to the call. The Lord wants us to be like Him. We are called to be saints this morning, folks. And I would that when people step into our homes, say, you all are different. Yes, I've been separated into the gospel. I don't do what the world does. It doesn't mean there aren't common things that we do in life. We all go out and work and mow the yard and we do things that the world does. But you know what I'm talking about? The love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things cover where we go, what we do, how we dress, how we look, the attitudes that we have. It encompasses every area of our life. We are called to be saints. We are called to be separated from the world. Now, when we don't have a vision of that, the scripture addresses it in the book of James. He said, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in how many?
All.
Because I have this reserved for God over here. So I know this is what I'm going to do this for God. But then my heart and my mind is still going after some of the things of the world. The pride, the things that are the world is pulling me to be like them, to conform to the world. And the scripture says a double-minded man. Are you double-minded this morning? You don't need to answer me. But are you double-minded? Do you know double-minded will make you insecure? Yes. It'll make you insecure when you come to service. It'll make you question everything you hear taught. Yes. It'll make you question everything you hear preached. It'll make you question every standard that the saints have held. I'm not afraid of questions. I'm not afraid of saying, well, what about this? But I want to tell you the answer is you get a vision of Jesus. And if your heart, knowing this, no man can serve what? Two masters. Do we still believe that this morning? Do we still believe that? You know, that's not what you're hearing in the church world. You can take the world and you can still hold on to Christ. The scripture I read says that we're to be separate. Paul said, I've been separated from the gospel. Thank God he was a Pharisee no longer. But you know what? We can have Church of God Pharisees. Got all the doctrines down. I dress modestly. I don't have a TV in my home. And I don't. But guess what? is what I'm walking around with in my pocket. You can get anything you want on it. So then where's the standard? The standard is holiness. It's purity. It's everything we do, Lord. I want you to be pleased. And I want to be separate from the world. And if we're separate from the world, why are too many people feeding on the things of the world? You feed on the things of the world, you will become like the world. But we have been called, separated from the gospel. 1 Peter 2nd chapter, and I'm just going to give a overview to for the sake of time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation.
Yes.
You've been called to be separate. And if you're not willing to be separate, you can go on looking like the world and acting like the world and having the priorities of the world and letting those things make the decisions and dictate your life. But I want to tell you, it won't take you to victory. It won't take you to peace. It won't take you to that wonderful love relationship that we can have access with God, that we can have with God. There's something better than what the world has to offer this morning, but we're going to have to be willing to lay down the things of this world and say, Lord, I'm willing to be separated now. If you are not willing to be separated from the world, and I want to say there is no greater gift to you parents this morning, there is no greater gift that you give to your children than teaching them and showing them what it means to be separated from the world. But it's not just because I'm saying no to the world, that's part of it. But the greater part of it is that I'm saying yes to God. See, we can focus on negatives. We need to live in a positive way. I found something better that I don't want to trade what I found in the Lord. I don't want to lose that. And when I start going after the things of the world, I start losing that close relationship that I have with God. So why don't I do that? Well, the saint said, who cares? That's not going to be the difference. I appreciate the heritage and I appreciate good standards, and we need to have them. And if you don't have them, you're going to fall back to the world, okay? That's another message. But the reality is this, it is a positive thing. I found something better in the Lord. I found something I value and I don't want to lose it. I don't want it to be contaminated. And so, yes, I've been separated under the gospel. There's a really clear, distinct line there. Do you all see that? I hope you all understand the message this morning. That it's going to be a difference. Brother Marty said in Dallas, he was at the meeting a couple nights, and Brother Marty made a comment. It was so true. He said, if you say you have met Jesus, but it hasn't changed your life, you have not met Jesus. If you can't say, yeah, I used to be this way, and now I'm different because I met Jesus. He said, you haven't met Jesus. When you get a vision of Jesus, it will change your life. When you get a vision of the holiness of Christ, there's a reason why we don't do some things, saints. There's a reason to. You say, well, prove it to me. I don't need to prove anything to you. Get a vision of Jesus. And it will start to make sense. That's polluting. Why would I want to bring the world in? Why do I want to pollute when the Lord says, hey, if you want to see me, you've got to live a holy life. Keep it pure. Doesn't that have so much more value than keeping a written law or a creed? Called to be saints. You're a chosen generation. We are to be pilgrims and strangers, aren't we? You know what it means to be a pilgrim and a stranger? It means I'm not settling down here. I'm not putting down roots here. I'm passing through, but I don't want to take on the contamination of the world. This morning, if we are not willing to be a separate people, we're not going to make it. Okay? And you may think that sounds strong, but Jesus spoke stronger. This is what he told his people that came. He said, we'll follow you. And he said, oh, you're going to have to go and sell everything you have, or you're going to have to take up your cross. You better go count the cost, because it means something to follow Jesus this morning. The Christian world has cheapened what it means to serve the Lord. They have cheapened what it means to serve the Lord. And Jesus, and I want to be just as faithful to your souls this morning. I want you to make it to. Don't think you can mix the world
and make it to heaven. You will do your husband or your wife, your children, the congregation, a great disservice to start bringing the world into your lives thinking that I can still hold on to my profession and be just as spiritual as you, but I'm just doing it my way. Your way is going to take you to hell. My way will take you to hell. It's Christ's way that will lead us to heaven. It's Christ's way. And He's a holy God. And He's called us to be separate. So are we? Are there areas in our life the Lord's saying, you know, I am so thankful that the Lord in His love doesn't come on and say, well, you got a little defilement there, I'm just going to cut you off. That's not what the Lord's doing. But in His love, He comes along and says, Michael, you know what? You've allowed some things to get in there that aren't good for you. So, Lord, I want you to work in my life and I want you to sanctify that. Lord, help me here. I'm willing to make changes that I can be separated from that which is going to hinder my walk with you. I'd like to encourage you this morning to embrace the call. You know, it's our identity. What's your identity? You know, some people don't want to be identified as a Christian. Or some people are okay to be a Christian, but don't put that word holiness on me. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a few of you. You'd be so, well, I'm a Christian, but don't you start, oh, you're one of those holy, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. What's wrong with holiness? It's the only way to get to heaven. Embrace the call. Yes, I believe in holiness. I believe that that's what Christ has called us to. And I believe I can't do it by my works, but when I get a vision of Jesus and I say, Lord, would you work in my life? It's His holiness that works in and through us. If you are not willing to embrace the identity and reality of holiness, you won't make it. Okay? So, in your decisions of life, I just want you to know that this morning. If you are not willing to embrace holiness as what God has called you to, you will not make it. And you will find that this fellowship, you will find that this congregation, you will find that the truths and the standards will start, you'll just want to distance yourself. But I want you to know when you will open your heart and embrace Christ, that He will begin to work in your life and begin to answer questions. He can begin to give guidance when I embrace that I am willing to be separated under the gospel. I'd like to close with one more passage. I appreciate your time. We went running a little long this morning. I therefore, Ephesians chapter 4 and 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We've been called to a vocation. We have a job. We've been called to be saints this morning. Separated under the gospel. Are we walking worthy of it? If the Lord came down and walked among us in the flesh, would there be things in our life? It's not just about when we come to service. Now, this is about our daily life. Are there things that we'd be ashamed of? Or would He say, you know what? You've invested yourself. You've done good. If you're going to be a mechanic, Darren, be the best mechanic you can be. If you're going to be a farmer, be the best farmer. If you're going to deliver the if you're going to be a truck driver, you be the best you can be. You know what I mean? You apply yourself with zeal and purpose. Mm. But we've been called to be saints. And I just wonder this morning, have we been walking worthy of that vocation? Or have we been making some compromises? Have we been sending a mixed message to our families, to the body of Christ, to the world? Or are we sending a clear, distinct sound that I have been separated into the gospel? And I may lose some friends over it. I may lose some family relationships over it. But I still choose Christ. Because I found He is the answer for me personally, and He is the avenue that's going to get us to heaven. Be separated under the gospel. Thank you for your time this morning.